This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. It is, as I said, 1320 WILS forecast, 69 right now. Beautiful. Clouding over, but still so warm. Low of 46 tonight. Tomorrow will be cloudy all day long. A high of 60, getting down to 42 as a low. Friday back up to 66 as a high. Partly sunny on Friday. And taking a look at 1320 WILS traffic, everything is moving along beautifully right now. 96, clear, 496, no problems there. And 69, traffic moving smoothly. Well, we talk a lot about healthcare, our healthcare system, and all the problems we're facing now and repealing and replacing Obamacare. But my next guest looks specifically at what veterans are dealing with. Suzanne Gordon with us. The book is The Battle for Veterans Healthcare, Dispatches from the Front Lines of Policymaking and Patient Care. Suzanne is an award-winning journalist, author, and editor of 18 books. Suzanne, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
How'd you end up looking at the issue of veterans healthcare?
Well, I've been writing about healthcare for about 35 years and observing doctors, nurses, and others, and patient safety, and so forth in the private sector, and I began to hear more about the excellent care that the VA does, the Veterans Health Administration, and I thought that would be a really great idea for a book to see what models of care can be developed when you have an actual healthcare system as opposed to a fragmented system or really non-system like the one in the U.S.
Well, what makes the Veterans Health Care Administration work so well then?
Because it's, first of all, they have people from when they get out of the service until they die. So it makes sense to do prevention and health maintenance and give really good care because they're going to be in your system forever as opposed to people constantly changing insurers and so forth. Mm-hmm. They have an integrated system so that a veteran living in Boston can move to San Francisco or Albany or wherever and go to a facility, they have a common electronic medical record. And they also have integrated care in each facility. So, for example, if you go see your primary care doc and have a mental health problem, he or she can walk you down to the psychologist or the pharmacist if you don't know how to get your insulin. It's kind of one-stop shopping with people who are very familiar with the problems that veterans acquire in the military.
Now, what about the costs of procedures and medicine and so on? How well is that controlled?
It's so much better than the private sector. In the private sector, it would be way more expensive to deliver the excellent quality of care that veterans get at the VA because doctors and other providers are on salary. They negotiate pharmaceutical prices. They have no fee-for-service incentive to give you more care than you really need, which is not true in the private sector. So it's a lot better, and of course it's integrated. They give better mental health services, homeless services, et cetera.
Suzanne, what about, for years we've been hearing about these long waits veterans have to sit through to get help, many months.
Right,
even.
Absolutely. There are some problems with wait times in the VA in specific areas. Often that's because Congress won't allow the VA to offer market rate salaries, and it's because we have shortages of providers in the whole healthcare system. Okay. But a lot of people assume that wait times in the private sector are less than in the VA, and that's not true. I mean, wait times are a big problem in American healthcare, particularly for primary care. They've increased in the private sector between 2014 and 2017, 30%.
Okay, but when you compare wait times, let's say, in our system versus Canada's government-run system, they have a much bigger problem with that, right?
Oh, not necessarily. It depends on waiting for what. And, of course, in the Canadian system, which is completely different than the VA, the Canadian healthcare system really isn't a system. It's a payer. Yeah. The VA is both a payer and a system. And but if you want to talk about Canada, there are waits for some things and not not for others, and they've made a political choice. People in Canada, they'd rather not lose their house if they get sick, and they might have to wait for elective procedures a little bit longer.
If you want a hip replacement, that kind of thing, you might have to wait a bit, right?
Right, yeah. But on the other hand, if you have a heart attack, you go right in, and nobody's covered. Uninsured.
So when you talk about the VA system, how does that compare to a single-payer system like we see in Canada?
Well, the VA is a sort of a single-payer system, but it's actually more complex because if, for example, you're a veteran and you have private insurance but you have a service-connected problem, the VA can bill your private insurance for a non-service-connected problem. Like if you have Agent Orange prostate cancer but you break your leg, you know, the VA would bill your private insurance for your broken leg. So it is a single-payer system, sort of, but it actually sometimes can be a multi-payer system. But the thing that's really important is it's a system. Doctors and nurses and clinicians talk to each other because they're in the same place. They share the same mission. They have the same electronic medical record. They have the same goals.
Yeah, but can that work? By the way, Suzanne Gordon with us. The brand new book is The Battle for Veterans Healthcare, Dispatches from the Front Lines of Policymaking and Patient Care. Well, before I get to how it could be, how this could be used in a larger system, what complaints did you hear from veterans?
Well, veterans have a lot of complaints with the Veterans Benefit Administration, which is the second arm of the VA. The VA is the Veterans Health Administration, Veterans Benefit Administration, and National Cemeteries.
Okay.
And there's a lot of problems at the VBA, because I don't know if folks are aware, but not every veteran is eligible for VA benefits. They have to be honorably discharged. They have to have a service-connected disability and or be poor. And so if you're healthy and wealthy, you're not usually eligible. And if in order to prove eligibility, you have to go through the Veterans Benefit Administration and compile a dossier, which is a very complex procedure.
Okay.
And the Veterans Benefit Administration has been chronically underfunded and understaffed.
And you have to go through the Benefit Administration to get to the Health Care Administration?
Yeah, you have to go to the Benefit Administration largely to get to health care.
Uh-huh.
And people have to have gone to the doctor when they were in the military if they hurt their back and or if they have an emotional problem to prove a kind of paper trail, and they're really discouraged from going to the doctor, even about serious physical problems, not to mention emotional problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big problem that has to be resolved, and that has to be resolved in the Department of Defense. The VHA can't solve that problem.
In the way the department basically is trying to avoid having more veterans in the system to avoid the cost of it, or what is it?
Well, you know, it's kind of like football players who get injured and they pump them full of meds to get them back on the field. When you're, you know, preparing for war or whatever, you're supposed to be a tough guy, right? You're supposed to suck it up. You're a warrior. And so that mentality prevents people from saying, I hurt. I need help.
So, Suzanne, when you look at what the VA is doing right, what is it that we can use from that for our larger healthcare system?
Oh, boy, Michael, I'm so glad you asked that question. They're giving better care at the end of life. They're giving better primary care. They're giving primary care that's integrated with mental health care.
Well, let me ask you about the first one. What are they doing for end of life that's so much better than what
we
do?
Well, you know, we have a big problem with futile aggressive toxic treatment, people dying, you know, and being pumped up with unnecessary medication and treatment. And in the VA, they give you what's called palliative care or hospice care.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big problem with an aging population in our society and not enough geriatric doctors who specialize in the problems of old people, which I'm getting there. And, you know, the meds they give you when you're 40 are not what they should give you when you're 70. And the VA pioneered geriatric care. The VA does much better mental health care than the private sector, in which the mental health system is almost non-existent.
Right. But would that be costly to basically offer that to the population at large?
No, because if you did it, I mean, the VA does it at much less cost. with the sickest, oldest, poorest people in the country if we distributed healthcare services and physicians and so forth more reasonably. We could give this to everyone. Remember, we spend more money on healthcare than any other country in the world and have much poorer results and outcomes than many other countries that spend far less.
And with all the decades you've been studying the healthcare issues we're facing, well, what do you blame that on mostly?
Well, a market-driven system where people, where profit takes priority over patients. And the VA is a mission-driven system to serve veterans and to serve them well. And I have to tell you, I've never seen such dedicated caregivers in all my years of observing caregivers. I mean, obviously, there are many dedicated caregivers out there in the private sector, millions. But the VA, because the profit motive and productivity pressures are not as excessive, they're able to really spend more time with veterans, talk to each other as clinicians more, and give better care.
Okay, so you're talking about...
And that's why, you know, about 95% or 98% of veterans, when polled, say they want the VA to be strengthened and improved, not privatized.
Interesting. In your view, then, we'd be better off in a single-payer system in the U.S.?
Well, I think so, but if we can't have that for ourselves, we should not take it away from veterans.
Yeah, how seriously is that being discussed to privatize the veteran services?
It's a very serious threat. There are many, many people. The Trump administration, I think, is that's their policy. I don't think they want to, you know, have an outright sell-off, but you can create a sort of creeping stealth privatization where it's death by a thousand cuts. And I think that's what we're beginning to see, and it's very troubling.
Award-winning journalist Suzanne Gordon, her brand new book, The Battle for Veterans Healthcare, Dispatches from the Front Lines of Policymaking and Patient Care. Suzanne Gordon, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you so much. Yep.